James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even at your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, Lord, that we can come to church and worship you. And Father, I pray this morning that you'll speak to us all, Lord, through your word, that you'll give conviction to those, Lord, those Christians today who may not be living like they're supposed to be living, and they're not living a holy life like they should be. And Father, I pray that you'll just convict them, Lord, to make things right with you this morning, Lord, to just confess their sins, Lord, and just trust, Lord, that your fellowship would be restored if, Lord, they're not living right. I pray, Lord, this morning that if there's somebody here that's not saved, who have never received Jesus Christ, who've never been born again, Lord, I pray that they will do that today, Lord, and help them to see from the truth of the Scriptures, Lord, what you have to say, that you are the only way. You are the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by you. And you're the only way of salvation. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anybody who's not saved, Lord, they'll see that. Understand that they're guilty of their sins, Lord. They owe a wage for those sins. And Lord, that they must call upon you for salvation. Father, I pray that you'll just speak to us through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you're reading the book of James, of course, it's like this all the way through the Bible. But one thing about the book of James is it deals with life as it is. And it seems to just deal with areas where Christians struggle the most. And there are two ways, really, that, you know, Christians today struggle with pleasures of life. In other words, sometimes we think that, you know, it's all about the pleasures. We think it's all about the entertainment. We think it's all about pleasing ourselves. And sometimes we have these selfish desires for the pleasures of the world. But the truth is, there are two ways that people can live their lives. You can either live your life to please the Lord, or you can live your life to please yourself. And the greatest example of how we are to be as Christians and how we are to live our lives as Christians is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says that Jesus lived to please the Heavenly Father. That's what was his goal, was to please the Lord. In fact, Romans chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." In other words, he didn't live to please himself. He lived to please the Father. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 29, it says, Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And so our greatest example in the Bible of how we are supposed to live, I mean, after all, if we're Christians, we are to be Christ-like. If you're born again today and you are saved, and you know you're for sure you're going to go to heaven, if that's you today, then you should be, the more you grow in Christ, the more you are conformed to the image of Christ, which is something we're all supposed to be doing as Christians. Each day we're supposed to be more and more conformed to Christ. And the more you're conformed to Christ, the more you're going to think like him. The more you're going to start to have the mind of Christ. Now, nobody's ever going to reach that on this side of eternity. But we should all be starting, as Christians, as we grow, we should start to think a little bit more like Christ on things. In other words, you should start to pretty much hate the sins that he hates. Amen? You know, if you're to the point to where you think that some sin's okay and some sin's not okay, that's not the way the Lord looks at it. Okay, he says, if sin is sin, amen? And so, as we're growing Christ, we should start to think a little bit more like Christ. In other words, we should be more compassionate towards others. We should have more love towards others. We should, we're all going to sin from time to time. That's going to happen. But we shouldn't enjoy it when we do, amen? And so we should be able to be more like Christ. And certainly, one of those things that comes with being more like Christ is, the more you grow as a Christian, the more you should want to do not your will, but the will of God. In other words, the more you should want to please him rather than pleasing yourself. And so when the Lord says, I do always those things that please him, What a statement to be able to say that. And I wish, you know, honestly, I wish as Christians we could do always to please him as well. But we don't. We know we're living in a pleasure-mad society where it seems like entertainment is absolutely everything. You know, I think that even just this week with them canceling sporting events and March Madness and the NBA and you know, productions of movies and all this stuff, there are people that are saying, man, the world's coming to an end. You know, that shows you how just how engrossed we are in entertainment. You know, how all we think about is just pleasing ourselves. And so that's what this world has come to. And to tell you the truth, it's had an effect even on Christians today. Many Christians today think more about pleasing themselves than they think about pleasing the Lord. And they think more about, you know, being, you know, wanting selfish entertainment, wanting selfish pleasures of this world rather than pleasing God. You say, how do you know that? Well, you can pretty much see it on Super Bowl Sunday, can't you? I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just saying that a lot of churches today, some of them bring Super Bowl into the church, and some of them cancel services on Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, listen, when it comes to that, which one has the priority here? Hey, listen, in 10 years, if you asked me who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago, I couldn't tell you. Anybody here can tell me? No. How important is it, really, if you think about it? Hey, after 20 years, all of them are just old and can't play anymore anyway. Amen? But so the priority is Jesus Christ. It's not about pleasing ourselves. It's not about having this selfish desire for worldly pleasures. But, you know, we have sports and our games, and we have the kind of gadgets that we have to give us pleasure. We have entertainment packages right there in the house that we could buy to watch TV where you could get over 300 channels. I don't understand how in the world somebody could watch 300 channels. But that's what we have. You can sit there and watch TV all day if you wanted to. You can watch a video all day if you wanted to. You can listen to iPods and all kinds of music all day if you wanted to. It's even possible for you to entertain yourself for months without ever coming out of your house. That's how everything's set up. So we're living in this pleasure-mad society, a society that basically has every ingredient that people want in order to bring excitement and pleasure to them and on a worldly level. And you know, they basically think, well, if I want it, it must be good, and if it's good, I must have it, and if I must have it, I must have it right now. And that's the way everybody thinks. It's the philosophy of the day. Instant gratification. But James here talks about that because in verse 1, he talks about the word lusts. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? He's talking about pleasures. He's talking about the pursuit of pleasures. Now, I want to point out here that pleasures in and of itself is not wrong. It's not. I mean, I like to have pleasures. I mean, I'll tell you this. Sitting there in the morning, getting up, and reading my Bible with a cup of coffee in my hand is pleasurable to me. Amen? And, you know, when I go home, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll have a glass of unsweet tea for all you people that are right with God, unsweet tea. And I'll sit there and I'll drink that unsweet tea, ice cold. That's pleasurable to me. I like going out on walks. That's pleasurable to me. Those things by themselves are not wrong. But where they start to become wrong is when we start to have the pleasure of this world and we put a higher priority on those than we do pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem, folks. A lot of people today, what they'll do is they'll say, I want this toy and I want that toy and I want this toy. And really, the toys themselves, there's nothing wrong with it. But when people start to want this and want that and buy this and buy that, then all of a sudden they have to work extra hours to pay for those things, and they're willing to sacrifice their time, Bible reading time and prayer time and church time, so that they can work the extra hours to pay for the pleasures of this life. Now, there's a problem there. Why? Because the pleasures of this life now has trumped basically what we're supposed to do for the Lord. In other words, we're not, our goal isn't pleasing him, it's pleasing ourselves. And so James here talks about our lust, that war in our members. He's talking about those pursuits of pleasures. And, you know, I'll tell you this, God does not want us to be miserable and unhappy people. He wants you to be happy, like me, happy. Amen? But, you know, it's a poor testimony for a Christian to walk around with a long face. A lot of people say, well, you know, I would be a Christian, but, you know, can't do anything as a Christian. Can't go here. Can't go there. Can't listen to this. Can't listen to that. Hey, listen, you got the wrong idea of Christianity. Christians should be the happiest people walking on the face of the earth. You know why? And listen, if you're a true Christian today, that means you're born again. And if you're born again, that means you know you're going to go to heaven. Now, I'll tell you this. That right there gets me pretty fired up thinking I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But boy, when you start reading about heaven in that Bible, pretty wonderful place. Amen? And listen, they have. If you read that Bible, it doesn't give you that much information about what heaven's going to be like. But boy, the part that they give you is mighty fine. Amen? And I'll tell you this. One of the reasons I can't wait to get there is because this flesh that keeps on sinning and the wickedness that I do, that I wished I didn't do, and those things that I should do and I don't, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I'll be glad when all that's over with. I'll be glad to be in the presence of the Lord. I'll be glad to be in the presence of those who have been saved and went to heaven that the Lord took home before. I'm looking forward to all those things. But may I tell you, the Lord does not want us to be unhappy. He doesn't want us to be miserable people. But what He does want us to do is not have the pleasures of this world or the pleasures of things or just pleasures take the priority over Him. But the problem is people make pleasure the ultimate pursuit of their life. And when they develop this passion for pleasure, this pleasure becomes the ruling passion of their lives to the point that they pursue pleasure to the exclusion of doing the will of God, that's where the problem is. And that's what James is talking about here. He's talking about having a passion for pleasure. And James gives us some consequences associated with always pursuing the pleasures of the world. In other words, pursuing the pleasure of the world over pleasing God. There are consequences that come with that. And the first consequence we see is in verse 1, and that is always pursuing the pleasures of this world will eventually result in disruptive behavior. It will result in disruptive behavior. Look at verse 1 again. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even at your lust, that war in your members? Notice here that it's talking about wars and fightings. Now, you know that can't be good. Amen? He's saying, listen, among you there's wars and fightings. And he says, where do they come from? Even your lust, that war in your members. In other words, your desire to have something, your desire to have pleasure, your desire to have things that you've made the priority. He says, and fightings among you. And so he's using these words having to do with war, and he's talking to God's people about, he's talking to believers, and he's talking about these selfish desires for material things and how people live in order to please themselves. And many times these selfish desires cause problems with others. And this has been going on for a long time, if you really think about it. You know, when it comes down to people putting their pleasures ahead of God, you can look all the way back through that Bible and you'll find example after example after example. One of the things that I was taught very early in the ministry was that you can give illustrations of people in the world and people who have lived in the world. And they also told me never give an illustration and use somebody that's still alive. Amen. I think that's good advice because they can always change their tune. But the greatest illustrations that you could use are those given to you in the Bible already. Do you realize that when you see the New Testament and the New Testament tells you this is how we should live and this is what we should do and this is how we please God, it gives you examples of people who did it in the Old Testament that way, and it gives you examples of people who did not do it in the Old Testament that way. And so you can learn from your Bible by that. Now, when it comes to making worldly pleasures and the selfishness for worldly things, making that the priority over what God says and what God demands, you can see that over and over in the scriptures. For example, I'll give you a few. You remember when Lot and Abraham were traveling together and everything was going fine until all of a sudden Lot's herdmen and Abraham's herdmen started to argue. You know what they were arguing about? Land and water. Now listen, whatever happened with God, putting God first and saying, Lord, we're just going to trust you. No, there was a quarrel there. There were wars and fightings there, and those herdmen said, hey, listen, we can't get together because their cows are eating all of our grass and you know, and their cows are drinking all of our water and all these different things, and so they start fighting. And so what happened? Abraham says, okay, Lot, you go one way, and I'll go the other. You choose, And whatever you don't choose, I'll go there. And eventually, what happened to Lot? He ended up in Sodom. Why? Well, it all come back to where there were people arguing about things. They were arguing about things that were material things. So we see that. Not only that, but if you remember Absalom, David's son, you realize that he went to war with his own father because he wanted a kingdom. Wars and fightings because of lust in your members. In other words, he wanted the prestige. He wanted to be king. He wanted the authority. That's what he wanted. That was his pleasure. That's what he wanted so bad that he was willing to go to war with his own father over it. Wait a second. What was God's will in this? It was never God's will for Absalom to be king. It was God's will for David to be king. But he didn't care about God's will. You see, he wanted his pleasures ahead of God's will. Even the disciples argued among themselves over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that something? By the way, do you realize when the disciples argued about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is right after the Lord said, I must go and die on the cross? Now, isn't that something? That shows you that people are, sometimes we can be selfish for worldly desires. Selfish desire for material things have caused strife amongst God's people for a long time, and it continues this very day. And so God's people fight, and there are wars among them because someone always wants something that somebody else has. Somebody always wants the authority. Somebody always wants the recognition. James says, from whence come these? He's asking about the source of the difficulty of the problems that we have. He says, come they not here even of your lust, of your pleasure, your desire for pleasures, your passion for pleasure? In the human heart, because of sin, there's always desire for pleasure, the desire of satisfaction. And he says that they come of your own lust that war in your members. Now, not only does the selfish desire of material things lead to strife among believers, but it also leads to disruptive behavior in our own personal lives. For example, there are some who think that they can make a certain salary, and if they just made that certain salary, they'll be happy in life. If I could just get that one pay raise, I'll be happy. If I could just get a little bit more money, if I could work a few more hours, I'll be happy. And you know, sometimes they'll do things that don't please God in order to get that higher salary. You say, well, that's the reason I think that we need more Christians in the leadership of this country. But I will tell you this, any Christian decides to go there better be careful. You know why? Because there are desires for power and desires, and there are people today will do anything for the authority. There'll be people today that'll do anything for the love of money. They'll do anything for it. Now, there are people today that say, well, you know, if I could just make a little bit more money. Some people say, well, if I could just get a little bit bigger house, then I'd be happy. Some people say, well, if I could just get a car like my friend has, you know, that'll make me happy. So what we do is we try to work the extra hours to keep up with the Joneses, and young people do this, older people do this. It's the selfish desire of material things and the worldly pleasures that cause disruptive behavior. But not only will those things cause disruptive behavior, but the desire for worldly pleasures, the selfish desire for worldly pleasures, will also result not only in disruptive behavior, but also in disappointment. It'll always result in disappointment. Notice in verse 2 here in James chapter 4, he says this. He says, you lust and have not. He's saying that when you make pleasure the object of your life, and when you put pleasure number one in your life, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be able to obtain enough to make you happy. He says, you lust and have not. The more you set earthly pleasures as the goal of your life, the less satisfaction you'll have. It's kind of like a mirage. You read about people seeing a mirage, and they're out in the desert, and all of a sudden they see palm trees and water, and it's way out there. And finally, when they walk out there, it's kind of a big letdown. It's not really what they thought it was. That's kind of the way it is with people today. You know, a person has a desire for money, and a person said one time, he said, how much money does it take to make a man happy? And the answer was given, just a little bit more. That's true. We never have it. Listen, we want more, but then when we get it, we aren't satisfied. We want a bigger house, and when we get it, we want to build on to it. We want a nice car, and when we get it, then we want something even nicer. We're never satisfied. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 4:8, Solomon said this. It says, neither is the eye satisfied with riches. It's the same for power. You desire to reach out for power, and when you get power, you want more power. I was reading this past week about the leader of Russia. He's already been the leader of Russia for a very long time. But he got approved today where he could be the leader of Russia through 2036. See, a little bit of power was not enough. He wanted more and more and more. Why do you think that you had people like Napoleon in this world? Why do you think you had people that tried to conquer this world? You know why? Because a little bit of power, a little bit of authority is never enough. It's our sin nature, folks. We're never satisfied. And so a person today desires power, he's never going to get enough. A person today who desires fame, he's never going to get enough. James says in verse 2, ye lust to have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. The things of this world never bring ultimate joy and satisfaction in your heart. Only the Lord can bring ultimate satisfaction. Only the Lord can bring true joy. Only the Lord can bring ultimate joy in your life. You desire to have and you lust and you have not, and that brings disappointment. Now, there was a man in the Bible who wrote a whole book on pretty much what is covered here in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. A man who wrote a whole book about having something and then figuring out that really it's just disappointment. Do you know who that man was? It was Solomon. Solomon wrote a whole book on it, the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm just going to tell you, the first time you think that any of your material things are really good, read the book of Ecclesiastes, because I'll tell you what, that is a reality check. If you are one of those people today that think a lot of your material wealth, and you think a lot of your material things, and you think a lot of your car, and you think a lot of your house, and you think a lot of your money, and you think a lot of your power, I tell you this, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, everything's just going to go, and it's going to stop. Because when you read that, he tells you the truth of how things really are. Wrote a whole book on it. Do you realize that Solomon, the Bible says he was the wisest man who ever lived? The Bible says that he was rich beyond anybody else. He was a man that had it all. And you'll notice that when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, there are two phrases that he always uses. You know what those two phrases are? One of them, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Now, you know a book that has that in there a whole lot probably isn't going to be an uplifting book, amen? But he also says this a lot, the phrase, under the sun, under the sun. You say, what does that mean? Well, think about this. Everything that's under the sun today would be the things on this earth, amen? When I grew up, they had this thing called everything but the kitchen sink. How many of you ever heard that? Everything but the kitchen sink. You know what that means? That means everything. If you say, I have everything but the kitchen sink inside this stew, you probably don't want to eat it because it's got everything in it. Amen? When it says everything under the sun, it kind of means the same thing. It's everything on this earth that's under the sun. And he uses that over and over and over. Now, I'm just going to tell you, without even reading the book of Ecclesiastes, without giving you any verses at all, think about the two phrases. Everything under the sun, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Need I go further than that? You understand what the whole book is about? By just those two phrases, you can know what the book is about, because he's telling you this, everything under the sun is vanity. That means all material things. Now, when you read about him and you read about those about Solomon, you'll find out that he was a man who once had a great relationship with God, a man who had been blessed by God with wisdom, a man who had been blessed by God with riches. But Solomon made the same mistake that a lot of the children of God make today, and he made that mistake of turning his eyes from the things above the sun to the things that were under the sun. Now, when you come to the second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon will tell you some of the things that he sought for in order to bring satisfaction and personal peace to his life. Selfish desires for pleasure. Turn, if you would, over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2, when you read through here, he actually lists a whole bunch of things that he's tried. And he tried everything. He tried every worldly pleasure. But there's one thing about when he lists these worldly pleasures, I want you to notice. When he's naming all the things that he tried, there's a thing that ties all this together. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I want you to look what he says in verse 1. It says, "And I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity." Now, verse 2, he says, "I said of laughter." Verse 3, "I sought in my heart." Verse 4, "I made me great works. I built houses. I plant vineyards." Verse 5, "I made gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits." Verse 6, "I made pools of water." Do you see anything that's common in all those? The words I, my, and myself. In fact, unless I counted it wrong, in the first 10 verses of chapter 2, you will see I, my, and myself 30 times. Now, I want you to think about this. He's telling you of all the pleasures that he tried in this world. And he tried everything. I mean, we're talking about a guy who had enough money, he could have bought anything. I mean, he had gold. There's nothing he could not have. And so he tried absolutely everything. But the thing that's tied with that is I, my, and me. Question, those pleasures he was trying, for whose glory was it? And who was it for? It was for him, not for the Lord. Listen, when he tried the orchards and planted those trees, he didn't plant those things for God. He planted it for him. When he built great houses, he didn't build it for God. He built it for him. And when he planted vineyards, he did it for him. Everything was done for him. That's selfish desires for pleasure. That's what he did. And you know what he said? He says, it's all vanity. All vanity. May I tell you, when you begin to live your life thinking only me, myself, and I, you're headed for trouble. And you'll discover the same thing that Solomon discovered in verse 11. Here's what he said in Ecclesiastes 2:11. He says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." No profit under the sun. You know what he's saying? Everything, all material things, all your material pleasures, all those selfish desires, they're not worth a hill of beans. Not worth anything. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, Solomon said so. And I'll say this too. If you're on your deathbed, if you're laying on your deathbed today, do you think honestly that you're going to care about how big your house is? Or how nice your car is? Or how much money you have in a bank? You know, you're not going to care about that. You know what you're going to care about? Is where you're going to be when you take your last breath. That's what you're going to be thinking about. Why? That's what matters. That's what matters. And so Solomon discovered that what some of us have yet to discover, that we all discover one of these days, and that is there is no pleasure, there is no entertainment, there is no material thing that can ultimately satisfy the human soul. When you lust for these kinds of things, you will have not. It will destroy your personal peace in your heart. You'll be disappointed. But not only do selfish desires for worldly pleasures cause disruptive behavior, not only do they cause disappointment, but according to these verses, they'll also lead to defective prayers. Defective prayers. Now you say, how in the world would my desire and lust for worldly things, how in the world could that lead to defective prayers? Well, notice here at the end of verse 2, it says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." He's talking about prayer. You know, if you ever think about how wonderful prayer is, I mean, the fact that you can actually, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can actually talk to your Creator anytime that you want to. I mean, isn't that a wonderful thing? You realize it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ you're able to do that? Do you realize that only because he went to the cross of Calvary, the moment that veil was rent from top to bottom, hey, listen, before Christ died on the cross, only the high priest could go past that veil. But the second he died on the cross and said it is finished, that veil was ripped from top to bottom, and now you can pray anytime you want to. You can talk to your Creator anytime you want to. But may I tell you that if you get to the point where all you're thinking about is your own personal pleasures and you're putting your pleasures ahead of God and your own selfish desires ahead of God, it's going to have an effect, a negative effect on your prayers. He says you have not because you ask not, talking about prayer. And so James here talks about the negative impact that selfish desires and worldly pleasures can have on your prayers. Notice of all, first of all, it talks about unoffered prayer. He says in verse 2, yet ye have not because ye ask not. He's saying you don't have it because you don't pray. You know, sometimes we don't pray because we're prideful. We think we can make our own selves happy. We say, you know what, I'd like to have this, and you go buy this, but you don't ever ask God if you should have it or not. You don't ever pray about it. We also think we can make ourselves happy, but the truth is you can't make yourself happy. Only Jesus Christ can make you happy. Only He can satisfy the deepest needs of your life. And you think that you can meet the needs of your life, but you can't. You have not because you ask not. And may I remind you this morning that God has a whole heaven full of stuff up there that He's wanting to give to us as His children. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. But we get proud and we think that we can attain true happiness on our own. We don't seek God for true happiness. Do you realize today that there are lost people in this world who desire to be happy? There are lost people today who desire to have that longing on the inside fulfilled. But rather than calling on the Lord for salvation, they try to fulfill that longing with different things like relationships or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is to fill that void on the inside. You see, they're seeking for satisfaction. They're seeking for true happiness, but they're not finding it. You know why? Well, he tells you, he says, ye have not because ye ask not. Do you realize today, if you're here and you're unsaved this morning and you have that void on the inside, and you do, you may sit there and say, well, that's not me. Oh, yes, you do. If you're not born again, if you're not a child of God this morning, there's something missing in your life and you'll never be satisfied. It doesn't matter what you try. You'll never be satisfied. And the problem is people today that are lost will continue being lost and keep on looking for the thing to satisfy them when the one thing that could satisfy them is within a request away. You know what it is? The Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that will satisfy anybody today that will fulfill that desire is to be a child of God. All you have to do is call upon Him for salvation if you're not saved. All you got to do is believe that He died on the cross for your sins, the sins that you owe the wage for. The wage of sin is death. He paid for that on the cross of Calvary for you. He paid your wages. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that's the gospel by which ye are saved. Today, if you've never been saved, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, there's only one way of doing it, and that is believing that gospel. That's it. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're not saved here today, the moment you receive Jesus Christ, that void on the inside will be filled, because that's where true satisfaction comes from. It's not going to come from earthly pleasures. Solomon told you that. I would just go out on a limb and say that Solomon probably had more than anybody in this room. Amen? Now, if you had more than Solomon, keep your pastor and, you know, keep him in mind. Amen? But I'm just saying that Solomon had more money than anybody in here. He had the capability of having more worldly pleasures than anybody in here. He married hundreds of women. Why he would do that, I'd have no idea. But he did. He did all these things for worldly pleasures. And in the end, you know what he said? It's all vanity. All of it. Every last bit of it. New car, the house, everything. It's all vanity. There's only one thing that matters. It's the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord. Now listen, again, I'm not against worldly pleasures. I'm not against you having a good time. I'm not against you having entertainment. Not a problem. But here's the thing. Everything you do to the glory of God. Even your entertainment. Everything you do for the glory of God. Not only that, but you can never let your desire for worldly pleasures or the pleasures of this life. Hey, listen, if you ought not be doing it, don't do it. But if it's just something that's a simple entertainment, It's okay, but don't let it be the priority in your life. Can't do that. Why? Because it's still vanity. You know, one of the things I get when I read the book of Ecclesiastes that's really, well, it's eye-opening. You know what that is? That about 95% or more of everything that Bob Crowder does is vanity. Do you ever think about that? You say, well, boy, Pastor, that's you. Good thing it ain't with me. Yeah, it is with you too. It's vanity. You know, let me tell you why it's vanity. Because that Bible says that one of these days, even the elements will melt on this earth. One of these days, this whole earth is going to burn up and it's going to be gone. If you don't believe it, it's right there in Revelation chapter 19, 20, and 21. It tells you right there, this earth is going to burn up, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. That means that these chairs, your house, your bank account, your shirts, your pants, everything, it's all going to be gone. It's all temporary. But you know what lasts forever? The moment you get saved, you're a child of God forever. Amen. You know what lasts forever? Heaven lasts forever. That's what, listen, that when it comes right down to it, would you rather have something that's going to just be gone one of these days, or would you rather have something that lasts? You know, hey, listen, we all want something that lasts longer, amen? I mean, we don't want something that's going to be gone one of these days. When you start putting all your hopes and all your time into those things that are going to be gone one of these days, that's what makes it vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. He's talking about earthly desires. He's talking about selfish pleasures. And folks, listen, it will affect your prayers. If you get to the point, notice here he says, when he's talking about this affecting your prayers, he says, you ask and you receive not. And then he says, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. In other words, there are people today that will actually pray for things just because they want that to be the priority. God, listen, God knows what you're going to do with everything he gives you. Amen? He knows if he gives you certain things that you're going to use that and that you're going to put it in place of him. You say, well, what do you mean asking that I may consume it upon my own lust? I actually had a person ask me one time. They said, Pastor, a Christian at church asked me this. He goes, Pastor, do you think as long as I gave a certain percentage, it'd be okay for me to put in for the lottery? Now, let me ask you something, folks. When he says that you ask and you receive not, that you consume upon your own lust, would you say that pretty much meets the criteria there? You know what that person wanted? He wanted something so he can go and spend it on worldly pleasures. Okay? Hey, listen, I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not the one that's going to convict you on this, but I'm just going to tell you, if you ask God for something so you could put it ahead of him, your prayers probably aren't going to go very far. Amen? Why? Because remember that Bible says if you ask things in Jesus' name, if you ask things according to the will of God, then those prayers will be answered. Do you think it's God's will for you to go out and get something, receive something of him so you can put it ahead of him? It's never been God's will for you to put anything ahead of him. So I'm just going to tell you, you say, well, you know, sometimes I pray and it just seems like my prayers just aren't being answered. Well, then I would ask you the motives behind your prayers then. Because everything that you ask for should be for the glory of God. By the way, in everything we do for the glory of God. That's even praying. We should be praying for the will of God to be done. That's how you get your prayers answered. It's not praying so you can have all the things that you want. God did promise to provide all your needs, but sometimes we get the needs and the wants messed up there. And so he's telling here that it'll affect your prayers. If you're praying today and you feel like your prayers aren't getting answered, it's either number one, you're not saved. Number two, you're not right with God. Or number three, your motives aren't right. If your prayer's not being answered. Now, I don't mean if God doesn't say yes to everything. I'm saying if he doesn't answer you at all. May I tell you, God can always say no. For some reason, we got in our head that if God doesn't say yes to everything, he's not answering our prayers. Do you realize how utterly ridiculous that is? That would be like your kid saying, can I have a candy bar? And you say no. And you say, and he says, answer me, Dad. I said no. Why aren't you answering me, Dad? I said no. Would you agree that no qualifies for an answer? Hey, listen, when you pray and God says no, that's the answer. Amen? So when you say, well, I'm thankful for answered prayers, that means you're saying I'm thankful for yes and no. But when you pray and God never gives you an answer at all, now you got a problem then. Why? Because he hears a child of his that is right with him. If you're here today and you've never been saved, there's only one prayer God's going to hear from you. You know what that is? When you call upon his son for forgiveness. He'll hear that prayer. So my question to you this morning is this. If you're not saved here this morning, you have not because you ask not. The only thing that could possibly stop you from being saved this morning, if you're not saved, is you're too proud to ask. You're just too proud to ask. Maybe you're thinking, boy, if I get saved, I've got to give up this and I've got to give up that. I can't do this. You're thinking about it wrong. If you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you get it all. You get it all. Everything that he has is yours. And his stuff lasts. Amen? All you have to do is ask. If you're not saved this morning, you have not because you ask not. Just ask. And if you're here this morning and you are saved, let me ask you, is your desire for worldly things overshadow what you do for the Lord? Does it take the priority of serving God? Do you get yourself in a position to where you want so many things that now you have to do more work to pay for those things, and it's taken away from your Bible reading time, it's taken away from your church time? You see, what's happened is your lust for worldly things have now become the priority in your life. And it ought not be that way, folks. Everything that you're paying for today is going to be gone one of these days. Either it's going to be gone or you're going to be gone and somebody else is going to get it. Amen. What's your priorities this morning? Let's stand.